America, it is vital that you don't fall asleep on Israel's creep into the U.S. military. On July 14th, the Senate's cloture vote on the bloated $1.15 trillion NDAA for fiscal year 2027 collapsed 50-46, falling short of the 60 votes needed. Senate Majority Leader John Thune pulled a slick maneuver, though, flipping his vote to no just to file a motion to reconsider and keep this monstrosity on life support. Buried deep inside are the infamous provisions, Section 219 in the House, Section 1217 in the Senate, sections that Representative Thomas Massey has rightly branded as an unprecedented institutional merger, jamming Israeli technology straight into America's weapons systems, slashing congressional oversight, and locking foreign influence into our defense industrial base.
In the NDAA, Section 219, which is going to start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's, doesn't make sense to do that with a country of 10 million people. But they've got that in the NDAA. I'm told that's not coming up this week, but we know it's going to come up sometime, probably sometime soon. And so I've offered an amendment to strip Section 219, it was called Section 224, from that bill.
While Democrats torpedoed the bill, mostly over Trump's Iran policy.
No, the real danger to national security is this war that's out of control. It's this war that has alienated our allies. It's this war that has totally diminished American power and ability to defend ourselves in the world.
But the real Trojan horse, APAC Uniparty, pulled one of the oldest tricks in the book, dangling a shiny carrot on a stick while they ram the dagger of surrender deeper into our sovereignty. In a razor-thin procedural vote, the House bundled the SAVE Act that includes the toxic Section 219 Israel military tech merger, forcing Americans to swallow the unprecedented fusion of our weapon systems, supply chains, and defense industrial base with a foreign power just to get basic election integrity. You aren't getting real voter ID without handing over control of America's military future to Tel Aviv. How in the hell is this national defense? The fusion of U.S. and Israeli military tech barely registered a whisper from the Mockingbird media. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, The New York Times, and the rest hammered the partisan gridlock angle nonstop, framing it as simple obstruction while burying the sovereignty-shredding details of this United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. Outlets that preach democracy and integrity treated Section 219 and 1217 like it was invisible.
Breaking news tonight. The major health scare across the country is lettuce making Americans sick.
Meanwhile, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is quietly hammering another nail into the coffin of American foreign policy independence. His Section 622 provision, now renamed 619, is still buried in the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2027. The provision is a straitjacket forcing future presidents to expand and enhance intelligence sharing across virtually every sensitive domain in the Middle East, with strict limits on any president's ability to pause, reduce, or restrict that flow unless they can prove a specific and identifiable national security concern. This stealth provision remains a quiet time bomb, waiting for leadership to push it through, likely buried in a larger package when the timing is right to strike. As of today, nothing has moved in the Senate. Thune's motion sits ready while horse trading drags on. But the House is barreling forward this week, with the Rules Committee deciding today on Massey's amendment to strip Section 219. Patriots are flooding the lines, but the bipartisan blob keeps pushing this deeper fusion anyway. This NDAA isn't about defending America first. It's about entrenching forever wars, drafting our children into a hell pit, scoring foreign leverage, and forever entanglement. This is no time to fall asleep. Contact your reps and demand they kill these provisions before our military independence and our sovereignty is sold off for good. John Bowne reports.
do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The Force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith. And we have a great show, as always, lined up for you, a show that you won't hear anywhere else. So let your friends know to tune in, share the live link, get in the chat, drop some comments in the chat, and support us any way you can. Speaking of which, make sure that you guys head on down to the Rundown Live, or excuse me, the Alex Jones store. Only 4 days left. Every dollar you spend at the Alex Jones store gets you 50 entries to win a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. This is the time to stock up on supplements, grab the new gear, and massively increase your chances to win. Anything you buy gets you entered. Go to the alexjonesstore.com now. The deal ends Friday, July 24th at midnight. Not to mention, you're getting a free shirt if you spend more than $29.99. It's a mystery shirt. Who doesn't like a good surprise? We all like surprises, and there's probably a lot of cool swag there to get. So make sure that you guys are getting and taking advantage of the full new summer apparel available on the alexjonesstore.com. For the first time ever, we're introducing a Hedderus Outdoor Performance button-up shirt. It looks stylish. It's lightweight, quick drying, and featuring a genuine embroidered 13-star Betsy Ross flag. Who doesn't need one of those? And I'm excited about this one. The brand new 1776 heavyweight shorts, premium heavyweight fleece, vintage black deep pockets, and our iconic embroidered 13-star design. These are built to last and only get better with wear. We've also got a brand new patriotic hats and limited edition summer tees that you're going to love. Summer won't last forever, and I can tell you that, being from Wisconsin, that winter creeps up quick. So you want to get into the store, pick up some of these great stylish gear, and, you know, represent. We're 100% funded by you guys. It's you guys that make this make this program happen, and we've always been a show for the listener. Also, don't forget about the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture. Introducing the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture, one of the most advanced liquid turmeric formulas. This fast-absorbing liquid tincture is formulated with a premium turmeric root, standardized to 95% curcuminoids and cuminoids, the most powerful and extensively studied active compounds found in turmeric, which, by the way, is great for joints. I can tell you, I use that stuff myself. Turmeric is wonderful for when you're getting old and you got those joints, and it kind of pads the joint, the cartilage between the joints. It helps with inflammation. I know, as a person who struggled in the past with psoriasis, turmeric really helped with that aspect. Not only that, we've combined it with ginger root, and ginger is great as well, black pepper extract, to help dramatically increase the absorption so your body can make the most of every serving. And that's the key, that you have those compounds mixed together to really propel the benefits of the supplement. Unlike ordinary turmeric supplements, this premium liquid formula is designed for superior absorption and maximum bioavailability. No fillers, no junk, just real ingredients that work together. With 60 full servings per bottle, Ultimate Turmeric Tincture is formulated to support healthy joints, mobility, antioxidant defenses, digestive health, and your body's healthy inflammatory response as part of a healthy lifestyle. And right now, when you subscribe, you'll get an incredible 50% off. That's half off. You can't beat that. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture today. Take control of your health, support this broadcast, and experience the difference the premium fast-absorbing turmeric can make. And it's important that you guys go and check out these supplements, because these supplements really help you propel your day. They help you start your day off, and they really make a big difference in how your day goes throughout, you know, every day of the week. And it's a cumulative, right? You want to take it every day. Make sure you stock up on it. Buy a couple, and really, it really makes a big difference. You can get into that raffle if you do, and you get that free swag and t-shirt. We're really laying it on thick. I'm telling you, that's a lot of cool stuff you can get just by making a purchase at the alexjonesstore.com. That being said, today's broadcast is going to be very interesting, and I invited a close friend of mine, Katie Page, to join us on this broadcast. She was part of a very interesting program growing up. It was actually the biofeedback program, and it's linked to a whole bunch of different subcategories. Some people believe it was part of MK Ultra. Some people believe it was part of the GATE program. Some people believe it was part of some more interesting things like controlling things with your mind. And we're going to get into all that and a whole bunch more right here in just a moment. But before we do, it's really interesting when we start talking about government secret operations. As you guys know, the MK Ultra hearings happened a couple weeks ago, and I joined Harrison Smith to talk about what we learned there. So make sure you go back and check out that episode if you haven't. But when we start looking at these subcategories and our government's interests, sometimes it's not really easy to connect the dots on how everything is being done, the people involved, whether it's Sidney Gottlieb and MK Ultra, Operation Midnight Climax, Artichoke, MK Naomi, all these government programs, which a lot of them sounded like the predecessor to Jeffrey Epstein, right? When you talk about Operation Midnight Climax. And then a lot of it has to deal with mind control and what you can control with your mind. So I want to go ahead and play this first clip. This first clip is actually, them working with small children in the biofeedback review. And it's really kind of weird that they go ahead and bring children on for this. But as we know, MK Ultra focused on and being predatory to children, because if they can get them at a young age, they're easy to program. Much like a computer, they can get some people to run many different programs. And sometimes they just want to check out if people have special abilities. Go ahead and roll the clip one here on the biofeedback review.
Well, this stuff comes directly from up the street at the University of Colorado Medical Center, where Tom Baczynski and Johann Steuven are doing the work at the biofeedback laboratory there.
It's quite well known that people who suffer frequent or sustained stressful episodes eventually will show some sort of a physiological breakdown.
Keep that tension held in that muscle group. Keep focused on it. Okay, now begin slowly to relax the tension.
Preliminary relaxation training is often given to prepare the subject for biofeedback training sessions. Training in the relaxation of the frontalis or forehead muscle has produced promising results in the treatment of tension headaches.
What biofeedback does is to take the individual from the nominal relaxed point down to a very low point. And of course, it does this by making the individual exquisitely aware of the functioning of his muscle systems.
So every so often,
shift your attention to that tone and make sure that you're keeping it at a low level. And that will ensure that your forearm is relaxed
as you begin this new training on your forehead muscle.
Here we have the output of the forehead EMG integrator. And those are the clicks that you're hearing. Here is the output of the forearm EMG integrator. And the tone is recording the feedback from this particular channel. So the tone will track the forearm. The clicks are tracking the forehead right now. Typically, we will train this individual, the one with tension headache, to this criteria of 3.0 microvolts average for 20 minutes. And when he can do this, and when he can do it without feedback, He's generally ready to
bring Katie on right away,
or even prevent them from happening in real life.
Katie Page is an author, investigator, and former Colorado State Director for MUFON, which is also known as the Mutual UFO Network. There, they have the largest database of UFO data, where she served from 2020 to 2023. She's also worked on special assignment and star team investigator for MUFON. Page is widely known for her childhood ties to the Clearview Ranch, now Rocky Mountain Ranch in Colorado, a renowned hotspot for paranormal and UFO activity. She has frequently appeared on television programs exploring these types of topics, including the History Channel's Beyond Skinwalker Ranch, Travel Channel's UFO Witness and Ancient Aliens, and she recently has appeared in writer Lee's upcoming documentary, Psychic Agent, the Gate Program, which has temporarily been blocked by Amazon. We're trying to figure out what goes on there. Welcome to the broadcast, Katie Page. How are you doing today? And man, the biofeedback program, that's like the first time I heard about it, and I was watching all these videos last night preparing for this broadcast, and I guess let's start out with, like, how did you get involved in all of this? Because you've done a lot of work, you've done a lot of research into the biofeedback program, and you were involved as a child from the ages 10 and 11. You got brought into this program. What is this program? What's going on here? And it does have ties to Area 51, which is really interesting when we start talking about the person. What's his name? Thomas Budzinski. When I was looking it up, he was working on some interesting stuff over at Area 51, and this is all about controlling things with their mind. So let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, Kristen, thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, this is really, I was thinking just last night how this has come full circle for me. You know, it started out as this kind of family secret back in the mid to late 70s on a ranch in Colorado, in Elbert County, Colorado. Back in the day, the location wasn't known. So it was known as the Clearview Ranch through APRO, which is the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization. And for my older sister, my mom, and I, it was sort of like all these crazy things were going on, from the rash of animal mutilations to orbs and lights flying off the property and this, and we never knew anybody knew anything about it. So, gosh, it's been over 15 years ago. I, started getting into the paranormal things because I have my whole life lived with this hitchhiker phenomenon, which is, you know, paranormal kind of things following you around wherever you go. And I bought this book right here, Hunt for the Skinwalker, by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher. And in this book, there's a chapter called Other Hotspots. And I started reading about the ranch from my childhood years. And I'm like, this has to be it. So I contacted Dr. Leo Sprinkle. And from there, it's just been this rabbit hole, as a lot of us go down. So as a co-host on UAP Studies podcast, we had a guest on, and he had mentioned to me the Gateway program and the Gateway tapes. And I thought, well, you know, I'll put on the headphones, start listening to the binaural beats and, you know, kind of astro travel. I've never had a problem doing that. And it was the third one in, Kristen, that I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like the biofeedback program I was put into during or right after the ranch years. And I still have the tapes from it from those years right here.
Those are the tapes right there.
That they gave you. They were in my big tub of things that I kept from my childhood. And I saw on here Thomas H. Budzinski, PhD. And I thought, well, this is interesting. You know, who is Thomas H. Budzinski and what is this all about? So this, all of this information is relatively new for me, Kristen. I started researching Thomas H. Budzinski, and I learned he was a navigational engineer at Area 51 working on the SR-71 Blackbird. And I'm like, wait, navigational engineer out of Area 51? And now all of a sudden he's in Colorado. He worked with the Menninger Foundation, the Monroe Institute. So for a year and a half, I'm put in this program, what I thought was innocently to control my migraine headaches, which I started suffering really badly after one of the most kind of intense incidents on the ranch itself, with that disembodied electronic voice and all that stuff. And I kind of was paralyzed for a while, got the whole full-blown tunnel vision. I don't know if you've ever suffered migraines, but I would get the visual tunnel vision, you know, the really bad. So I'd miss school for a day. Was on all these different medications. And this, my mother worked for United Airlines as a computer operator in the Denver Tech Center. And a gentleman approaches my mom with a newspaper article and says, your daughter needs to be put into this biofeedback program, which, by the way, I sent you the map, Kriston. It's within walking distance from where my mother worked in the Denver Tech Center. And so I'd go into the office and sit in this brown leather chair. And, you know, they teach you to control your temperature in your hands to really soften your muscles in your face and your jaw, which, by the way, if you are headache sufferers, it really worked. I very rarely will get headaches anymore. But to learn that I think there was much more to this program than meets the eye, that's where it really gets interesting.
Well, what's interesting to me is this is about controlling things with your mind, right? And when I was watching some of these videos, which we have a couple more videos we can play here and kind of show people what's going on. But the first thing that comes to my mind is all these like urban legends and folklore tales that UFOs don't have controls, that people control them with their mind. So when I'm thinking biofeedback program and somebody has a link to Area 51, in part, I could believe that they were trying to figure out potentially how to fly some of these advanced aircraft or identifying someone that has the ability to control things with their mind. And they found that people could regulate their blood pressure. These are like real science studies, right? This isn't something I'm really making up. There's credible people involved. They've done tons of studies. How many people were involved in this biofeedback program?
You know, I am not sure about how many were put into the program, but when I started Googling and looking, thank you to ChatGPT and Grok and all that, because this information was so obscure and hard to find. I never would have made the connections without that. And so, you know, I come across this video on the history of biofeedback, and I hope you have the clip, but there's a little boy in there. And I remember every time I would go over to the office, there was nobody there. There was Dr. Budinsky's office, and then he had two extra little rooms. And I would always go into the one room with the brown leather chair, and I don't ever remember anybody else being in there. But this video is incredible right here. I was like, whoa, that's exactly what I did.
Well, and they wrap this kid's head up, and they're like, you're going to control the airplane. That's exactly what they say to him. And I'm like, well, okay, that goes back to my original hypothesis, is that potentially they could be looking for somebody that could control a, you know, UAP, if there was such a thing. Because that's the urban legend. Like, we're talking a lot about things that we can't prove, but we hear that in the disclosure conversations, right? That these things are controlled without actual steering wheels, that people control them with their mind. But I'm sure there's a lot of other uses. If you can control a spaceship with your mind or an airplane with your mind, what else could you do with your mind? And that goes into the MK Ultra programs, like the men who stare at goats, right? They were trying to get people to focus their energy and cause goats' hearts to explode. That's what the movie's about. It was based on a real MK Ultra program. Well, if they could use psychic energy or whatever they called it, maybe they didn't really understand it at the time, to explode a goat's heart, well, then you have almost like a psychic or silent assassin. And it's so when we start tying these people together, when we have, let's see here, Thomas H. Budzinski, he's involved in a lot of things, isn't he?
He sure is. And that was a really eye-opening revelation to make. And it goes much deeper. I mean, one of the questions, Kriston, I always had about the Rocky Mountain Ranch was how much of it is actual paranormal, unexplained UAP, activity, and how much of it is Black Access military projects. Through all the documents I've uncovered from back in the day, there's no doubt there's this very mysterious man named John Duke, and he claimed to be Air Defense Command from San Francisco and a psychologist and all these things. And he talked about taking legal LSD on the ranch. I'm like, legal LSD? There isn't anything unless it's in a special program, right? He talked about bringing vagrants to the property. There was a part in there where there was, his last name was redacted out, but it said Warren Blank visits the ranch from Camp Carson, felt something take over his mind, made him walk towards the woods, would release him, and he would walk back to the ranch house, and that did that to him 5 times. What is that about? I mean, all of these connections, and to learn about Budinsky and his connection, and then also I have come full circle with you know, my sister, who is 6 years older, Chris, she was on the third episode of Beyond Skinwalker with me. But we were very affected differently from the ranch. Yes, she was older. She kind of moved away out of the state. She moved to Wyoming not too long after the ranch years. I call them the ranch years. But I really had the hitchhiker stuff a lot, and my sister didn't. And when I learned about Budinski and the training I went through, which is really, they try to keep you into a theta state. So it's that really powerful place right before you doze off to sleep, and like right before the twilight when you're waking up in the morning. You know, you're kind of, you're aware, you're awake, but you haven't fully, you know, face the day, and you kind of can still remember your dreams in that state. That is the state in biofeedback. They try to keep you in that theta state. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. That would explain possibly, I'm not for sure, but possibly why I find it so easy to lucid dream, to astro travel, to do all these things, because I had that formal training, whereas my sister did not. And I wondered if that opened up more of the hitchhiker type of phenomenon throughout my life. And I think, you know, this has been studied, like you mentioned, through IONS and Noetic Institutions and or Institute. And there's so much data that says if the general public knew the power of their own mind, and it's even been studied where we can retroactive change things in the past, and we can affect other people through our minds, that if everybody knew the power that they had right up here with their own thoughts, we would live in a different world right now.
Well, it's interesting because I've been working on a documentary on MKUltra survivors, and one of the individuals I talked to is Chris Latour, and he said when he was at the young age of six, after he was recruited by the government, his mother would put drops of LSD in his tongue on his way to school. And he told me that his first session, they put him into what were like a type of goggles to watch video, which kaleidoscoped a bunch of like war and pornography and abuse and murder. And he just watched it the whole day. They forced him to watch it. He couldn't take it off his head. And that was the first start of it. But he then went on to eventually, after a couple of years of being involved in the MKUltra program, that they started to move into controlling things with your mind and being able to move a boat, and that he was able to make the boat move a little bit. But when his whole class came together, they were able to make it move a whole bunch. And that's from his, that's from his testimony to me that I'm working on in this documentary. And a lot of these things sound very similar with the biofeedback program. What was, we got a minute and a half here before we go to commercial break, and we come back, we'll roll that second video clip. But what were some of your first memories of your early sessions in the biofeedback program?
For me, you know, I didn't connect it to anything with the ranch or anything strange like that. I really felt I was going to these appointments to get a handle on these debilitating migraine headaches. So my memories, coming from a child's perspective, I was always worried about just falling asleep because they really wanted to train you to stay in that theta state. So, you know, when you're that deeply relaxed, I remember my hands feeling really heavy, and that's actually part of the cassette tapes where your arms are heavy and warm. Warmth is flowing into your hands. And then also as a little kid, they made it into a game. So it was fun to see how much I can raise or lower my body temperature in my hands. But they would go limb to limb. And, you know, so you'd start with your left hand, heavy and warm and relaxed, and your right arm, and you'd go through your whole body, your
Katie,
jaw.
Katie, please hold that thought for us. We're going to have more when we come back from break. What a great conversation. This is really interesting. This is what comes down to dive into things. You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Fight for our sovereignty, which is fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Where, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you know, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key to sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Friends, has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine! No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell you.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
The War Room. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris. You can find out more about me. Find me on rumble.com/TheRundownLive. You can also find me on Twitter /KristanT. Harris. And I'm on Facebook and just about every platform. We even tried doing a new YouTube, and that's been working out for the time being until they decide they want to boot me off again with all my followers. But that being said, today's guest is Katie Page. Katie Page has been talking to us about her experience in the biofeedback program, which is, surprise, surprise, some of the people involved had links to Area 51. Let's go ahead and roll that video clip number two, which is interesting because here they're like have this little kid and they wrap his head up in this like wet cloth and they're like, yeah, you can control the airplane. Let's do this.
Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Today we're going to fly the airplane and the rocket just like we did before, okay?
Okay.
Can you make the rocket go up?
Yeah.
All right, let's get you hooked up and we'll do that.
We have been personally criticized because we don't do control
studies. We haven't brought in enough patients who are epileptics and tried other things like theta and alpha on them. We invest 2 years in a patient. I mean, if we sign a patient into our study, they're going to come in 3 times a week for 2 years. Our feeling was, in order to cope with this, that the first thing we wanted to do is find out if the model we were working with had any validity at all.
Okay, Captain, this is the tower. Are you ready for takeoff? All right, we got to get the rocket off the ground. Here we go.
The point is that we are giving him, through the feedback, an opportunity to focus on a brain state, which he seems to enjoy. And by doing that, we seem to be countering the seizure process.
Here they're actually able to control the seizure process by doing these rocket, quote-unquote, studies. And so I find it fascinating, just the coincidences between this program, because in the MK Ultra program, they had the alpha, beta, theta, and omega programs. And, you know, I think a lot of that might be based on the state of the mind that they got the individual, right? If they could get you in that theta state, then they could realize that you had potential for these things like remote viewing and astral projection, which is something our government had a lot of interest in. Sidney Gottlieb, who was the guy who was in charge of Operation Midnight Climax, Artichoke, MK Ultra, and was also teamed up with the military version of MK Ultra, which may have been a lot more sinister, called MK Naomi. They had different programs for each type of person, and they used the same type of slang and terminology. So in your point of going through this, what were some of the things that you were able to accomplish? Were you able to do such things as cool your hands down and slow your heart rate and blood pressure? What were some of the results you had that you remember? Because you were involved. You were sitting in that chair just like little Timmy there.
Yeah, Kevin. It's little Kevin right there.
I call him Timmy, you know. That.
Yeah, Timmy. Well, it brought back a lot of memories, but for me, the questions run deeper, and it really speaks to I feel like, and this ties into paranormal UFOs as well, but the ability to disassociate or like astral travel and leave your body, which often comes through trauma, near-death experience, deep meditation. These are all ways we can all leave our physical bodies and kind of astral travel or disassociate. And what's interesting to me, as a young child, we had a lot of trauma. My family and I did, starting in Illinois. I was actually born in Illinois, moved out to Colorado in 1970. But my half-brother was actually exhibited a lot of signs of autism, although autism wasn't a thing when he was a child. So he ended up, at the age of 14, started lighting fires. He burnt down a house in over Lake Como in Wisconsin. And then in 1973, he burnt down our home, our family home in Colorado, and was sent away to Pueblo State. He also suffered epilepsy. So for me, I'm making the connections that we might have been flagged or targeted because of the family trauma and because of my half-brother Gary in Pueblo State, who was epileptic. And I actually found documents that stated that the state hospitals were getting funded for some of these more MK Ultra biofeedback kind of type programs. And I feel like then in elementary school, I was put into the trauma divorcee programs that kind of spun off from that.
Well, Katie, what could you do with biofeedback? Because, what is the really the potential of this? Like, I joked about Flight of the Navigator experience where you could control a spaceship with your mind, or, you know, you see Magneto, you know, telekinesis, things like that. But what's the real potential of this? Because we're going to get into this article I have on the PsyGames in a second, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, first and foremost, it did really help with my migraine headaches. And, I have a couple, now they're grown adult children who suffered with migraines as well. So they can be genetic. And I'm like, you need to get out my mom's biofeedback tape. So they are good for that, just like any type of calm, relaxate, deep breaths, those kind of things. But I also believe it's that training that, I mean, it was a joke. It was a running joke in my family where I'm like, oh, I have to go in and redream a dream, or, you know, I lucid dream all the time. So I'm always controlling my dreams every single night. And I'm like, well, that must come from that training. So I believe it opened up a window possibly in my brain that allows, you know, more paranormal activities that happens. Almost weekly, and to the point where I'm like, I'm so glad I have witnesses to these events. People would think, wow, I can't. But I really believe it opened a doorway into being able to do those kind of things and have more control of your thoughts, your minds, your emotions, your breath, that kind of thing.
Well, was there a point where, you know, this type of training actually led to more them trying to lead you down a psychic ability route? Because, you know, that was something our government was interested at that time, was the psychic ability. And by them doing this, did you feel like they were slowly trying to prep you, train you into doing more with that type of ability?
I do. I think it went a little south for me, however. So I'm not sure, and I cannot prove this, but it's something I'm sure going to try to find. I'm just now, like, I just required all of my school records. I was in the same school district, the Cherry Creek School District, my whole life. So, I you know, it was documented in that I was in the biofeedback program. So that was really interesting to see. But I also believe that for me, through my high school years, even as a young adult, went through a lot of depression, memory loss, these kind of things that I'm like, did the biofeedback program hurt me? Did it help me? I definitely think it must have changed me in certain ways. So these are all things I question, and I'm really trying to look into the answers to those right now.
Well, one of the reasons why I thought you'd make a great guest for today, there's a story out there that a lot of people don't know. And this might be breaking news here on the War Room that people haven't heard of, but they are running in, Charlotte, North Carolina, something called the Psy Games. Have you heard of the Psy Games before?
I have. They did a little bit of that, too, at Contact in the Desert out there in Indian Wells, California. And this is, you know, autistic kid, nonverbal autistic children. They, you know, have the ability to communicate via telepathy. And I'm excited that this whole area of study is kind of getting the attention it is through Julia Mossbridge and a lot of the work she's done and others that are just tapping into this ability. And I think for the first time, we're going, wow, you know, this is documented. We can study this scientifically, and it's such important work. So the Psy Games are really just, you know, showing that these kids that are nonverbal, and I personally think it's not only nonverbal kids. I think we all potentially have the ability to have telepathic ability. I mean, how many times have we thought about somebody in the phone rings, that kind of thing, you know? So the Psy Games are really where they put that on display, really, for people to go, oh, wow, look at the potential of the human mind.
Well, not only that, like when we're looking at this, right, the Psy Games, identifying people who have extraordinary abilities. I wanted to go ahead and give you some substance here. When I was going through the Epstein files, there's emails that Jeffrey Epstein has talking about how autistic kids have the ability to be telepathic more than any other individual. They're much more higher ratio. I don't remember if it's 1 or 3%. It was something like that in the Epstein files. And I posted the article on my Facebook and my Twitter, and I'm like, huh, why is Jeffrey Epstein interested in telepathy? And it was just one of those random terms I searched was telepathy, and it came up in the Epstein files where he's talking to somebody about how autistic kids are way more telepathic than the standard individual, and they believe that. So right here on the Psy Games website, it says, the Psy Games are a groundbreaking tournament designed to explore and celebrate the full spectrum of psychic abilities. Grounded in the principles of the Bannister Effect, we aim to open participants' and spectators' minds to the vast potential of Psy by showcasing what is truly possible. This event is not about proving the possible, but also discovering what is achievable when we unite curiosity, integrity, and the skill in a community-driven environment. We bring together five teams of five to engage in a friendly yet challenging psi-based competition, so psychic competitions. Each team member focuses on one of five core categories: remote viewing, which is what is remote viewing for the listeners out there that may not know?
Yeah, you know, remote viewing, Lynn Buchanan, Joe McMonagle, if you've ever seen the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, basically you're getting to a deep relaxed state and there's different methods of doing it. Different people have different methods, but oftentimes they're giving just a random number from a number generator, and you basically write down, and there's different protocol, but you write your impressions down and you can see a target anywhere in the world and even in the universe. People have remote viewed off planet Earth, and it's scientifically substantial, the evidence that we are able to do this, and any person could be trained to be a remote viewer. However, it does help to be less materialistic and more in your right brain, and more you get in that disassociative state. So it's a fascinating area of research.
Well, it reminds me of Ghostbusters. Isn't it Peter Venkman in the yeah. beginning? He's got the cards and the one dude nails it, but the hot chick doesn't. But he says she has it right, and he keeps shocking the guy that gets the card right. And he's holding up a card, and he says, "What does this say?" And he's like, "Oh, that's a plus symbol." And he was right, and he'd shock him. And then, you know, it's like kind of also, I have a question. So they also mentioned MindSight, precognition, which I know what that is, psychokinesis. What is psychokinesis?
Isn't that where you can move things with your mind, or is that telekinesis? Psychokinesis?
I think it's telekinesis.
Yeah. Psychokinesis, is that interchangeable, though? I'm not really sure on that one.
I don't know if that's more like the men that okay. Psychokinesis is the physical ability to influence a physical system or move objects purely through mental effort without physical interaction. So telekinesis and psychokinesis, very similar in definitions anyways. But that's what the Psy Games are about. And it's kind of interesting to me because I think that if you were a government and you wanted to be predatory to identify anyone with special gifts, well, you would end up at places like Contact in the Desert, which comes to a whole nother thing that you just put down a new rabbit hole. A couple of years ago, I photographed Mayorkas. It was Alejandro Mayorkas. I think that's his name. If I got it right, the head of the Department of Defense there. And I was wondering, why would somebody like Mayorkas be at a UFO convention? And that might be why. That might be one of the many reasons he showed up at Contact in the Desert. But now you have the Psy Games, and I bet you there's going to be no media there. I bet you nobody's going to cover that, and I bet you it's going to be full of potentially government agents. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think they'd want to go to see it, to identify people that have abilities, or they have people that are part of it that are trying to identify people who have abilities? Because if somebody does something, you know, or something interesting, they would probably want to recruit them.
Absolutely. I recently have been listening to Dean Radin's book where he's discussing a lot of these things, and I found it interesting. He was talking, and I actually think Joe Rogan had him recently on his podcast, and he had a spoon that he had bent, and he was telling us that, you know, that how he was able to bend the inside of a spoon, Uri Geller and all that. And I thought it was interesting, and this is really telling why the government and the secrecy, because then he's on the airplane just kind of thinking about it. He was going to maybe try to do it again while he's flying in an airplane. And he stopped himself because he didn't know how it worked. So what if the power of our mind, he was afraid, like, I'm in this tin can and I can maybe the wings will fall off or I can crush the airplane. And so he's like, we don't understand how all this works, but we know it works. We know it's significant. And can you imagine how you can weaponize that then, Kristan? If people literally can do that just through their minds. And, you know, in the documentary, Lynn Buchanan is in that documentary with me, and he was saying, like, he won't touch that because, according to him, there are people that are trained that can, you know, hurt people or even potentially kill people with just their thoughts. Can you imagine how dangerous that would be if everybody was able to do that?
Well, what's interesting is that was brought up in Ryder Lee's upcoming documentary, Psychic Agent, where he asked mm-hmm. somebody that was directly in charge of the program, could this be used to assassinate individuals? And they refused to answer it. And they said that they have no further, like, they don't have, they're not looking to answer any more questions on the subject. And that's a really interesting thing. If we have the ability to do that, or people have the ability to direct their energy and do these things, it's quite quite incredible. So a couple of questions to kind of pivot here for a moment on the UFO phenomenon, because it seems like our government has been having these disclosure hearings, and you were once a very big part of the MUFON organization, which has the largest catalog of UFO reports in the largest library in the entire world. In fact, I heard rumors that NASA was trying to work alongside MUFON and get your database, and that, you know, there was a little bit of infighting going on about that. I don't know if that ever happened, and if you guys partnered with NASA to share your database with the government. I've noticed that they pivoted from talking about UFOs and when they've been releasing a lot of these disclosure documents into the biologicals. Like, we're going to talk about the aliens. Were there biologics attached to this? Nobody wants to talk about the spaceships. No one wants to talk about the technology. And then again, they could probably create an animal-human hybrid in a lab and say, oh, here's our alien. This is the biologics, if they wanted to. But what are some of the things that you believe are some smoking guns dealing with the disclosure documents that were being released, you know, after all the Epstein files was kind of drowned out by the Iran war and, of course, the disclosure documents here?
Yeah, so, I mean, just in the last week, we had dump number 4. What was it, like 40 files and 19 videos? So a lot of it is very visual videos and photographs. People love that. People, you know, I think it's intriguing. We're making the right steps. Me personally, though, being the investigator researcher side of things, I love poking around into the documents. And I think what's important about what's happening right now is looking at the bigger picture. You know, these lies for the last 80 years since Roswell that, oh, we don't care about this topic, or nobody's paying attention, and MUFON kind of picked up the torch after Project Blue Book in 1969. That's all a lie. And now we can clearly see that just based on the documents alone. So that alone to me is interesting, and it's about time that they're like, wait a minute, this is not true. And Kristen, you mentioned the MUFON project, and I was involved in a program. There's the Pandora files that had over 10. So before we had computers, all of the MUFON reports were done on paper. Many tens of, like 10,000 files. And so for 3 years, I was ahead of a team called the Mars team. We went through and we redacted over 10,000 files. And we're talking hundreds of pages. Some of them were like big files. The original Travis Walton files were in there, for example. And that was fascinating. But what was really interesting is the person, the individual who set up that whole program, left to go back to France right at the time Lou Elizondo came out. And I can remember sitting at the MUFON symposium when Lou Elizondo was on stage. This kind of was right at the beginning of this whole journey we've all been on as a nation. And it was almost like verbatim that I was aware in that moment that the Mars files went to Arrow, went to Lou Elizondo, and I finally, a few months later, got confirmation. So, yes, people are looking at those MUFON files, absolutely 100%. So I thought that was, oh, okay, this is interesting. And that's why it was like, here, Lou Elizondo and ATIP and all this, they got the information they need. Now, here, you can take it, and, you know, now MUFON's doing their own thing with it. But it's really fascinating that, you know, for sure that's been looked that.
What are your thoughts on McCaslin? They recently released his wife's testimony just about a week and a half ago. I don't think a lot of people have covered it, but he disappeared. You have a lot of these scientists involved in these government secret, scientists involved in these secret government operations. They're just disappearing. And, you know, that's one of those stories that hasn't gone away, although they did find the body of one of the individuals. I just wanted to get your take on it because, you know, McCaslin was in charge of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is a place that was rumored to have the Roswell wreckage, at least according to Tom DeLonge's conversation with John Podesta.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that these phones are getting wiped and these people are disappearing and these just, you know, we hear it repeated with several of these missing folks. It's so unusual to me, especially the woman, I can't remember her name, I'm sorry the name escapes me, but she's just out there hiking and then just vanishes, like a lot of these missing 411, you know, David Plotty's kind of cases. And I'm like, you know, what is that all about? And what are they so afraid of them revealing that they go missing? I don't know. It's really compelling, and I hope we can find answers to this. But you're right. It had a lot of attention there for a while, and I haven't heard much more about it in the last month or so.
Right, right. So, you know, because when I look at a lot of this stuff, most of it, I feel like it's like just like the MKUltra programs and everything else. How many of these UFOs are government based? As I used to be a field investigator at MUFON for a short period of time, although I only got to do and solve one case. You find out that most of the stuff that's reported is either government related, airplane related. And a lot of these videos, you look at them that are released, they could go any way. They could be airplanes. They could be new government aircraft. In fact, I asked Mark D'Antonio, who is a friend of mine, you know, he's got clearance. And I asked him, I'm like, what are the odds that this is the government just testing to see if this works on their own soldiers? Because it's always the military that gets the credible UFO footage. It's never Joe Schmo with a clear camera, full color. Here's a UFO without lights, because they always have those cool lights and all this theatric stuff. But they usually look like a lot of drones. How do we know that most of this stuff isn't just government aircraft and they're trying to pass it off as some kind of UAP?
Yeah, we don't know that. And that's an excellent point, Kriston, because I think that's been going on for, 50 years, even at Rocky Mountain Ranch. I just recently on my YouTube channel, Rocky Mountain Ranch Research, did a whole thing on the choppers and the choppers, which kind of takes us back to the mid to late 70s of these animal mutilations. Linda Moulton Howe was an investigative journalist back there in the day. But we had all these blacked out, strange, unmarked helicopters. And I just went through a document called The Choppers and the Choppers. And there were so many reported unmarked helicopters, even flying over our military bases, like the drones. I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me we have unidentified helicopters flying over Malmstrom in Montana, and they don't know who or what they are? Back, you know, in the mid to late 70s. And I can tell you, it was years ago at Laughlin, I ran into Richard Doty. For those of you who don't know, Richard Doty was, a self-professed disinformation officer there by Dulce Base and all that. And I asked him what was up with these unmarked helicopters and animal mutilations at Elbert County, Rocky Mountain Ranch. And he said it was a diversion. And the question then becomes, a diversion from what? What are you all hiding? Because they've been
It's the smoke and mirrors. Katie Page, let listeners know where they can get in contact with you, where they can find out more about you. And, hopefully this documentary hits, Amazon, so that people can watch it. Ryder Lee's putting it out. Very good.
Yeah, people can find me at RockyMountainRanchResearch.org or Katie Page, and that's PAIGE.net. And again, I think a lot of the reason we're not having full disclosure is because of these secrets working with children. This is why Amazon didn't want to release this documentary right away. I hope Ryder Lee gets it out there. It deserves to be seen. And there's a lot of compensation to probably thousands of people across the country who are unwitting pawns.
Katie, thanks for joining us today. We're just out of time here. No problem. Great show. Appreciate you. We'll have to have you back soon. You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kriston T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. We'll be back. Steve Poikkanen from AM Wake Up will be joining us.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X.
at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site, with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
I want to bring down the new world order!
I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.